Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend. The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Chulin Daf Samach Beis. Our Gemara continues with the halachos of birds, the kashrus of birds, and as such, I would like to continue in this shiur with the halachos of the kashrus of birds, which birds are kosher and which birds are not. In this shiur, I would like to discuss some specific birds and what the halachos are pertaining to them, which in essence is the application of the general rules and principles of the kashrus of birds, applying them to specific birds. As we mentioned in last year, the Torah tells us 24 birds that are not kosher, and in other words, the remaining ones are kosher. However, the 24 birds are not just specific birds, they're a species of birds, and the Gemara, Chazal, made rules out of which birds are kosher and which birds are not kosher, and we said that according to most opinions, those rules are the Oraisa, and we said what the four identifying signs of which birds are kosher and which birds are not kosher are. Namely, it has to be that the bird is not Doiris, and we explained what Doiris means, three ways, and really there's more, but we explained that there are three explanations what Doiris means. It has to be it's not Doiris, not this type of hunter. And also, it has to have these three other simanim that they have a crop, they have a gizzard with a thin layer that could be peeled, and they have an extra toe. Now, Gemara is later on to discuss how to identify eggs of kosher birds by the fact that one end is narrower, the other one is not. Although inherently, if it's a kosher bird, its eggs are kosher. If it's a non-kosher bird, its eggs are not kosher. And the Gemara is giving us a way how we can tell with looking at the egg and not knowing the bird that it came from, how to tell if it's kosher or not. Then we mentioned in last year how Shulchan Aruch brings down those four signs, and after the Shulchan Aruch brought down all those four signs, the Shulchan Aruch nevertheless said that even though we saw that a bird is not a doyres, that type of hunter, nevertheless we cannot be sure that it's not that type of a hunter, and therefore we should not eat any bird unless we have a mesaira, unless we have a tradition that this bird is indeed kosher. After that, the Mechaber said that according to some opinions, if a bird has a wide beak and wide feet, so then it could be assumed that it is not doyres, and having the other signs would be sufficient, even though there's no Mitzayra, which would seem would be the halacha for this finding, although it's not so simple. But the Ramah refuted it. The Ramah said, even in such a case, under all conditions, we will never eat a bird unless it has a Mitzayra, unless we have a tradition that such a bird is kosher. This concept that we only eat a bird if it has a Mitzayra, if it has a tradition, is actually spelled out in Rashi on our daf. Rashi and Daf Samach Beis on the Beis of Ramasko Chazua, or in some print it's Vahainu Gerusa. So Rashi says, since we are not clear, we're not fluent in what birds are the type of birds that are kosher or not, nearly, therefore it seems to me, a bird that comes in front of us, we have to suspect that perhaps it will be this kind of hunter. The ha haftarne go to the agima, this type of chicken they assumed it was kosher. And afterwards, they discover that actually it is by race. It is this kind of hamzah. And therefore, we only eat birds that we have a tradition that our fathers gave us that they are kosher. If they did not give us over this tradition, then we suspect that it's a hunter. But if they did give us a tradition, so then we could rely on it. Like the Gemara says, that if we have a tradition, if we have a Messiah, we could rely on it. And as such, at least for the Ashkenazim, very likely for the Sfaradim, we only eat birds based on tradition, and we nevertheless have birds, bird meat, that we do eat. Now, it came a question many times over about specific birds that we didn't seem to have a tradition, and the question was, could we permit them? Are they kosher? Are they not? Let's begin with the famous tumult about the turkey. Turkey was a bird that was found in America. The Eastern world was, in Europe at least, they were unfamiliar with the turkey. And when Columbus discovered America, he discovered foods, animals, birds, and one of them is the turkey. It was brought back to Europe, and now it didn't take long for it to become very common in Europe, and it became a food, a bird that was eaten. And the question is, why is it that a turkey is permitted to be eaten? The Rama tells us very clearly, we can only eat a bird based on a Messiah, based on a tradition. If it was only discovered of new, then how is it possible that the Yidden were able to eat it and assume that it's kosher? So there is in fact a tshuva, and Shadis the tshuva sa'elef l'chash laima, that was asked about the kashrus of turkey, and he came out very strongly that it's prohibited to eat turkey because there is no Messiah. And he says, people want to say that in America they had a Messiah, it's shtuyot, it's for sure not true, because who lived in America? There were no Yidden until Columbus came there, and even when he came there, which Yidden were there? It was only Ruben Kali Adas, of course. So where did the tradition come from? And being that there's no tradition, Shlomo Kluger prohibited eating turkey. However, as is quite well known, most, if not almost all, Talmid Chachamim, Poskim, rejected the opinion of the Shlomo Kluger. And it's spread across all Tfutos Yisrael, all sects of Jews, actually eat, we'll see soon, maybe a small exception, generally accept the fact that turkey is considered kosher. It's already back in early Achronim, hundreds of years ago, that for hundreds of years already, Jews have been eating turkey and assuming that it is kosher. We still go back to the question, why is it, how is it that we can assume that turkey is kosher? So the Shaul Meshiv takes an approach, and he says from the fact that we eat turkey, even though there was no Messiah, it must be that the generation that accepted the kashrus of turkey, they obviously did not follow the opinion of the Rama, despite the fact that the Rama says in Shulchan Aruch that we only eat a bird that has a Messiah, that has a tradition. Halacha does not follow that. Obviously, the poskim of the generations before us that accepted the kashrus of turkey obviously disagreed with the Rama. So, with all due respect to the Shaul Meshiv, in his approach, Nevertheless, most Poskim reject the Mahalach, this approach of the Shoilim Eishev, and they do not go on that track. They do not assume that we reject the whole Ramah just from the fact that we accept turkey and we eat turkey and we rely on the kashrus of turkey. We assume that what the Ramah said is certainly true and is accepted by Ashkenazic Jews, that we will only eat birds that have a Messiah. And as far as the kashrus of turkey, we have other ways to answer. And for that we find another three ways how to answer the question, how is it that we eat turkey? So there's a Sefer Dvar Halacha, Siman Nun Gimel. He says that even though the Ramah says we only eat a bird that has a Messiah, that has a tradition, he only means to say that if it's an entirely new species of birds that has no tradition, so that we will not eat since we don't have a Messiah, since we don't have a tradition that we're able to eat it. However, if it's a type of bird that is part of a species that we're eating already, that we have a Messiah about already, it's just a different variation of it, so then we will eat it even though, despite the fact that we don't have a Messiah, despite the fact that we don't have a tradition. And therefore, since a turkey is similar enough to a chicken, and it also has other identifying signs, so therefore, that is the reason why we eat turkey. The Meshav Davar, Yecheni Beisim and Uchof Beis, written by the Netziv, he says a different explanation. He says that the mere fact that the Yidden have been eating this for many years and years, that itself is considered a Messiah. That itself is considered a tradition. How it started, I don't know. But now that it has started, now that we have seen that Yidden, the Jews, have been eating this for already hundreds of years, the entire population has been eating turkey, that alone is considered a Messiah. It's the type of concept, like the Gemara says, Mlav Nevi'imim, B'nei Nevi'imim. So when the Ramah says that we only eat a bird if there's a tradition, which presumably is that there was a tradition, father to son, back to Moshe Rabbeinu, or the times of Nevi'im, or perhaps the nevertheless, that is the mere fact that Yidden has been eating it for a substantial amount of time, that is equivalent to having a Messiah. And the Ramah that says you need to have a Messiah, you need to have a tradition, that's only if a new bird comes in front of us, then nobody's eating. If nobody's eating it and you want to start eating it, so we say, listen, do you have a tradition? Can you find a population that's been eating that has a Messiah, that has a tradition that this is kosher? If yes, then you could eat it. If not, you can't. Tariq HaZavoysim has a different approach. And he says, this is that Rashi says, that you have to have a Messiah because maybe it's a Doiris, maybe it's this kind of hunter. That's only if there is a small possibility that perhaps it's a hunter. If we know, if we have seen hundreds and thousands of such a bird, and we saw again and again for a long, extended period a tremendous amount of them, we saw clearly that they're not doyres, then we no longer have to suspect that perhaps at some point it will be doyres, will be, show us its colors, that it is actually doyres, and then in fact we could eat it without a Messiah. And since turkey, we've seen hundreds and thousands of them for an extended period of time, and we saw that they're not doyres. So therefore, we could eat it despite the fact that we don't have a Messiah. The whole purpose of the Messiah, the need for the Messiah, is only when we have a suspicion that perhaps it will be doyres at some point, that we have not seen it long enough, not enough of them and not long enough. But if we did see them long enough and enough of them, then it's unnecessary to have a Messiah. Be that as it may, how to understand the reason why we eat turkey, despite the fact that we don't have a Messiah? Whatever the answer is, whatever the explanation is, it is widespread accepted by Hasidim, by Litvisha, by Yakisha, basically, in the countries of the Sephardisha. Now, two final points about Turkey is that the Sephardim have much less of a problem. As we mentioned, the Mechaber says that a bird that has a wide beak and wide feet, then according to some opinions, you don't have to have a Messiah. So the Sefer Magen Avos says that the Sephardim perhaps eat it because, based on this Mechaber, since it has the wide beak and the wide feet, so perhaps that is why the Sephardim eat it without the Messiah. As we said, for Ashkenazim, this would not suffice. That's one point. And the second point is that I will admit that there are some places, there were some cities, countries, families, that they had a minog to refrain from eating it. And certainly those that have such a minog from their fathers not to eat it, so they definitely keep away. But as far as I know, all kashrus agencies would write on Turkey that it's kosher. Because it's accepted in Klal Yisrael that turkey is kosher. And even those that don't eat turkey, I don't think they worry about the kashrus of the pats. They just won't eat the turkey itself, but they'll eat by somebody that doesn't eat turkey. They don't, that far they don't go to worry about the pats and the knives and the spoons and everything. They don't have a whole separate kashrus agency that they rely on. And they, and that much the lechayra, as far as I know, they're not keeping away from turkey. That's as far as turkey. But there are other birds as well. There are numerous types of ducks that were questioned about. And often, even though the general population does not have interest in eating these types of ducks, but there are many people that like to, it is useful for them to eat the eggs of these kinds of birds. For example, quail eggs or exotic duck eggs are sometimes useful as an alternative for people with allergies to chicken eggs. And therefore it's important to know what the halachas of these other types of birds are. Even if we're not eating the bird itself, it's important to know whether it's kosher or not, for to be able to know whether we can eat the eggs. And as we said, we have to have a Messiah. And so basically, if we have a tradition that a specific kind of bird is kosher, so very good. That will help and that will work. And there is a Messiah. In fact, there is a Messiah to eat ducks. However, the tendency is that species vary slightly from one place to another. And the question becomes, at what point do I say that this type of bird is a different type than the type we were eating based on the tradition? In other words, we have a tradition that ducks are kosher. Ducks were eaten. Chickens are kosher. What happens if we go to another place and the ducks of that place are a little different? There are numerous types of ducks. Just because it has a last name duck doesn't mean it's the same type of duck. And it can be classified as a duck that we have information about. Just because a zoologist considered a type of bird to be a classification in the family of ducks, does that mean that it has a tradition for it, that there's a Messiah for it, and that we may eat it? And therefore, the question is, obviously not. Obviously, we're not going to just follow what the zoologists say. And the question is, if so, so what is the Hagdara? When do I say that birds are similar enough that the tradition of one bird is sufficient to its cousin, to its other type that's similar, its parallel cousin bird that looks quite similar to it? So it seems that the late Poskim assume that if you have two birds, one bird you have a Messiah about, and then you have a new bird and you want to know if it's included in the Messiah of the first bird, so they assume that if it's virtually identical and it only has one distinguishing feature, one feature that's different than the one that we have a Messiah about, for example, one is a bigger build of it and one is a smaller build of it, then it's considered one species, and then we could eat the new one, the new type, based on the Messiah, based on the tradition of the one that we had all along. However, this seems, as simple as it sounds, usually the variations are more the cousins and the ones that are in the same species and that we're talking about, they're different in more than one way, especially if you look closely. Then you still have to judge. It requires tremendous judgment. Is this the same? Is it not the same? Is this considered the same? Is this considered a difference? Is it not a difference? Usually when you look closely, you will find more than one difference. So the OU, Kashrut Agency in America, for many years, they would consult with the Yisrael Belsky Zatal, and he issued a psak and numerous birds. Are they kosher? Are they not kosher? He followed how they were raised and the different stages of it, and he gave a psak, issued a psak on numerous birds, whether they're kosher or not. One of the birds that the OU researched, and if Belsky Zatzal indeed permitted, was the Indian runner duck. And if Belsky said that besides for the fact that it has all the signs of a kosher bird, he said that since the beak and the foot are the same as a duck, as the regular duck that we're used to eating, so therefore it's considered a type of duck. Just like the Shulchan Aruch says that if it has a wide, which is based on Rishonim, Rabbeinu Hananel and the Baal Hamor, that if it has a wide beak and wide feet, so then you can know it's not Dairis. So even though we don't follow that, the Ashkenazim do not follow that psak of the Mechaber, but nevertheless he used that as basis of how to judge whether it's considered the same species or not the same species. Another duck, the Muscovy duck, was very controversial. This one, even though it's quite similar, the feet are similar to a duck, but there are differences. This Muscovy duck doesn't quack, it hisses. A regular duck doesn't nest. A Muscovy duck does nest on a tree. And Ms. Sawyer, the question, this question of whether the Muscovy duck was kosher or not kosher, was actually, there's a much ink was spilled on this question. But at the end of the day, if Belsky Zatal said that it seems that the American Mesoira is to not allow, that we do not rely on the kashrus of the Muscovy duck. And there was a time that in the 50s, when the Sheikhtim say that the Rabbanim of Boston would take away smicha from anyone that shechted this Muscovy duck. And therefore, as far as I know, it's assumed that the Muscovy duck is not kosher. And from here on, there's many other ducks that come into question. A person should do good research and ask Shilas to find out if the duck actually has a Mesoira. If it doesn't have a Mesoira, is there any way, do Poiskim of today permit it? Do they not permit it? And as this concludes, this shir.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.